The next presenter is Satnam Singh.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. I will be adding, because you have been listening to a lot of presentation from US, so I will be adding the taste of Indian curry now, and you will enjoy it, I think. So I'm an assistant entomologist working at Punjab Agricultural University, Ludhiana, India, and these days I am on my sabbatical in University of Kentucky, Department of Entomology. So I had the pleasure of attending this conference and just presenting my studies. So I'll be presenting about the status of BT cotton. If you see from 90s to this 2015, what really has happened with the pest dynamics in India. So I will start my presentation non-technically. So definitely you will be just surprised to see that an insect stopping a train, not train, it many trains. So this year it has been really bad for Indian cotton. It has been a massive outbreak of white fly. I don't know whether you are aware of this, but it has been huge. The farmers were not able to control the white fly with the pesticides that have been recommended. There were a lot of, they had tried a lot, and ultimately I can say that approximately 10 to 15% farmers had to just plow their land in between the season because they don't want to waste money on spraying the pesticides. So all this was failure. Not only in India, the Pakistan was also the victim of this pest, even some parts of China and some parts of Iran. What really has happened, we really don't know. So to brief you about the Indian cotton, so we have Indian cotton divided into three zones, the north zone, the central, and the south zone. The north is the zone where we have the most outbreak of this white fly. The central zone is the zone where you are. You might be listening that there the pink bollworm developing resistance to Cry1 AC and Cry2 AB. So this is the region that is the central zone that comprises of Gujarat state. And south zone we have different pest problems. We have white fly, leafhoppers, but not it's manageable. So if we talk about the North India, the Punjab state. So here the cotton is in the southwestern zone. The major problems are the salinity. The soils are highly alkaline and saline in the cotton region. The pest problems are white fly, leafhoppers, thrips are coming up like anything in the early stages. Then mealybug was a problem, but now it is almost gone. Aphids, they sometimes come and go. They are manageable. They are not a huge problem. The diseases are the leaf fungal foliar leaf spot, then bacterial blight, and the major issue is of the leaf curl. So leaf curl is the disease which is vectored by Bemisia, that is the white fly, and we have huge incidence of this disease across the north zone. Then we have one physiological disorder called paraweld that has come up after the introduction of BT. So after a sunny day when a farmer does irrigation, because there is flood irrigation, so there is sudden wilting of the plants. So that we have speculated that there is a production of acetylene around the root zone, the rhizosphere, and the plant is not able to breathe and it will die. So this is the problem that has come up after the introduction of the BT cotton. So these are the major issues. And if you see the journey of cotton, bollworms to white fly. So ironically, India ranks one in acreage, but its position in production oscillates between two and three, always competing with US and China. So, and the cotton cultivation has suffered a major setback in 1990s with the bollworms. So bollworms were not manageable at that time, but you can say that it was BT cotton just saved it. We thought at that time this cotton will go off from the north zone. It won't be the growers won't grow cotton anymore. But BT cotton came and it was a savior of the cotton in that zone. But After the introduction, we had the mealybug problem, and now we are having the problems of this white flies. And this year it has been really epidemic, 60-70% losses in the cotton yield. And all the management tactics are just failure. So if you see back, we just see the have a backflash of this. So in you can see that in early, that is the pre-BT era, BT was introduced in India in phases. 2002, it was introduced in the south zone, and 2005, it was introduced in the north zone. So we had a huge problem of bollworms, but now it is negligible. We don't find any bollworms on cotton, on the BT cotton. But we are able to trap the pheromone traps, we adult traps, we are able to get. And earlier, they are less. But if you see the larval population in 2006 to 2009, we didn't got any larval population. But 2010 to 2014, we are getting a little bit of average of one larvae per plant. We have taken out the data of around four. This is, I think, 10 years, the correlation data. But it doesn't give any, you can say, so we have to dissect it more to really correlate it with the pest populations. So the spotted bollworm. So I will just, if you can see the pest, this is not a pest, this is mainly in the Asian region, that is the Indian subcontinent. The pest towards the right, this is spotted bollworm, and this is coming up as a major problem. This is the one of the complex. So we have a complex of Helicobarpa armigera. I don't know why we call it American bollworm. It's not American because now in America, he told that it has just come in 2013, but we really don't know because it is American cotton we are growing, and the bollworm associated with it, we call it American bollworm. So that may be the reason, I think. So this pest, that is spotted bollworm, this is a major problem. So all this data is on, not on BT cotton, this is all on non-BT cotton. We are not finding anything on the BT cotton except in the Gujarat region. So we are seeing the higher peaks of pheromone traps as well as a larval population across the season and across the years. And pink bollworm, our region was supposed to be the hotspot for the pink bollworm, but the pheromone trap catches are declining and the larval population is also declining. Don't know the reason for that, because it is a stenophagus and the BT area is reducing. This non-BT area is not there, so it doesn't have any host to survive. And this white fly, you know that this is a massive pest with a huge host range and huge number of viruses it transmits. So this is the problem in the northern region. You have the white fly calendar, it has the host all year round, no gap. It can survive all the year round. So it has January to December, all the hosts available for the transmission of virus, for its survival. If some host is not available, then the annual weeds are there to just give it a feedback, and it can survive on these annual weeds like Ableton or Siddha. So this is really a problem. The diversity of hosts, and in few of my slides I will be telling you that how this diverse cropping pattern is posing a threat in terms of virus. So if you see the white fly, we don't have much population in early BTs except in 2001, and we have a huge incidence of cotton leaf curl. The surprising thing is that we have been never able to correlate the white fly populations with the leaf curl virus. No matter, the white fly population will be very high, but you don't find the incidence of leaf curl disease so much. Here you can see that in 2001, we have the huge population of white fly, but the incidence is low as compared to in 2010 and 1998 when the populations were low. So it's really very tough to correlate. If you see the white fly, it damages the crop in three ways. It sucks the sap, it releases the honeydew, you can see the black plant, if you go through, if you are wearing a white dress and just go through, you will turn out to be black at the end of the field. So it's really, it causes a huge damage in terms, and then the virus. So this is what really is the whitefly scenario. So we were alarmed by this pest in 2010, but we didn't take it seriously. Then 2000, you can see the peaks are increasing every year, and you see the 2015, it is huge number of population. So this is the population basically from three different locations, which are experimental field, but at the farmer's field, the condition was that we have seen around 200 white flies per leaf. So it is huge. You are not able to see the green part of the plant. It's all green part of the leaf. It's all covered with the white fly. So we have just speculated that what weather has to say with these things. So what we are observing now that in the pre-BT era, that is before the BT, the white fly used to have one peak in September, August, September. Now we are having the early incidence of the white fly. So it's coming early. And high humidity and temperature is always related. So what really happened in 2015 is that we have the temperature from June, May to June, it was throughout around 40 degree. And there were intermittent rains. So intermittent rains will provide a good congenial environment for raising the humidity, and that will be definitely congenial for the white fly to grow. And that, along with that, these intermittent rainfalls, if the farmers try to control their white fly, they run off all the insecticides when they used to spray. Because we had around 24 cloudy days and 7 rainy days, which washed off all the insecticides which were sprayed by the farmers. So this could be a reason for this massive outbreak. And then there are some other things. We are having a huge number of hybrids, BT hybrids that are coming, small companies. They are taking the this license from the Monsanto, and earlier we used to have, you can see that, when we started, BT cotton started, we had only 5 hybrids that were recommended for the north zone. Now the number has raised to 400. So it's a huge number. So the grower is confused what really to grow and what not to grow. What is resistant, what is susceptible. So that is, he is in the state of confusion. Then treating the seed with the imidacloprid, that is, seed comes treated with the imidacloprid. And the whitefly population comes in July. So we sow cotton in May. So there is a 2 months gap. So definitely the less residues in the crop, they may, contribute towards the development of resistance. And then we have this speculation that B biotype, we have found that this B biotype, which is more resistant to insecticides, that has come up, and we are not yet confirmed it. Then high use of nitrogen. In conventional cotton, the use of nitrogen was 60 kg per acre. Now it is 150 kg. So that could be a reason for, so I am not, we are not sure, but just we are speculating all these things. And the chemistries available, they are really not very good. Then the coker blood, because all this BT cotton has one parent as a coker. And maybe because the small companies, they are not, their breeding program is not strong, and very small companies. There are only few big companies in India like Myco, Monsanto, Rashi, and there are very small enterprises coming up, a small business, which are just doing the crossing program and raising their hybrids in the market. And we don't have a very good, a protocol for the release. Otherwise, if you see the public sector, a variety will take around 5 to 10 years to release, but in case of BT hybrid, they go only a 2-year testing and are released in the market. So, and one more thing is that in India, refugia is not adopted as seriously as it. The reason being, the small companies, they are giving the material, the segregating material. We have the data for that, and we will be publishing it soon. We have taken the refugia packets, and we have planted it on a large scale from every company. And we have seen that the material in that is not very good. The farmer doesn't get any yield from that. So what he does is he keeps the packet aside and he doesn't adopt the refugia. So a reduction in the number of sprays in pro and this BT era may be a reason, and ultimately if nothing comes up, we can just blame that it may be a climate change. Two more slides where I will just show what impact this whitefly is doing in terms of viruses. So we are collecting the whitefly from this Punjab region on okra, cucurbits, cotton, chili, tomatoes, beets, almost all the plants, then the whitefly samples from all these regions, all these crops. We are extracting the DNA, and then we have amplified the coat protein region, alpha satellite, beta satellite. So just an example here, you can see the sample one. Here we have the symptoms of yellow vein and eination leaf curl. If you see the viruses, the main virus present is Mesta yellow vein mosaic. The alpha satellite comes from the Pakistan Burewala. So this whitefly has no borders. It can cross, no visa. It can cross China, it can come India, it can go Pakistan. So you see the cotton leaf curl from alpha satellite from Burewala. This alpha satellite is responsible, alpha and beta are responsible for the pathogenicity of this virus. And beta coming from an aquatic plant, that is Lugvida. Yes, I think the spellings are mistake, sorry. Then the second symptoms you see, the second sample, second, there is the eination leaf curl. This is the normal okra leaf curl. You can see okra eination leaf virus. We don't find any alpha satellite, and the beta satellite is also from the okra. So these are the symptoms. So you can see just by changing the alpha satellite, how intensive the symptoms have been in the sample number one. Like this, if you see the third sample, that is mild yellow of the veins, you see the Mesta yellow is the main virus. Then we have alpha satellite from the Gossypium and the beta from okra. So this is how this whitefly, because we have multi-culture, multi-crops growing at the same time. You have cotton, you have okra, small farmers are there. So, but they are contributing to new virus strains. So ultimately what we have found, if we divide this whitefly, this viruses into clades, we have main five clades. Okra I haven't shown because the picture was big. Cotton, chili, tomato and Mesta. So what we are finding at this time, our samples are mostly going towards this Mesta, the one which I amplified, and the red ones. So they are going into Mesta. They should lie in the cotton, but they are going to Mesta. So that is the recombination taking place due to this virus and the multiple cropping, that is the cropping pattern over there. The analysis of Bemisia tabaci along these populations, it shows in Asia 1 and Asia 2, but a large diversity. You can see the populations with the red lines. So these are the populations which are from the Punjab, and you can see the two diverse group it forms within a very small state. So what really is happening with this, that we are seeing that in cotton, we are getting cotton leaf curl, we are getting okra yellow vein mosaic virus, we are getting okra yellow leaf curl virus, then Mesta yellow. These are all, we should get only cotton leaf curl, but we are getting three more. In chili, we are getting papaya leaf crimple virus. In case of squash, we are getting Mesta yellow vein mosaic. So it's all messed with the due to the cropping patterns and the close proximity of all the crops and the vector in the region. Ultimately, I will thank my lab mates, who have my students, my postdocs, who have been doing all this data collection, the leaf curl part, the virus and vector part. So, and Dr. Brown from University of Arizona, she has been always helping me with the virus sample analysis and whitefly analysis, and all the people. And thank you to my university and also to University of Kentucky for giving me the opportunity to come over here and present my studies. That's all. Thank you. So.